You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
A lot of electricity, as we've been telling you right here in the Dog Bowl on this Friday, as everything feels good when a football team is beginning to win and has an opportunity to do more so. Great to have all of you with us. Michael Regai in for Nathan Zagura today, Matt Wilhelm, Joe Juravicius, and we say hello to a lady, one of my partners on the Browns Red Zone. We have a terrific time on Thursday nights, did last night. Hope you had a chance to catch it. Been covering the Cleveland Browns for just a couple years from Cleveland.com and the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Hello, Mary Kay Cabot.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How's your Friday?
Everything's good. Yeah, it's winding down and getting ready to get on the road.
All right, so Mary Kay had a chance to – the media gets to see about the first 20, 25 minutes, maybe a half hour if Mike Pettine's feeling real generous with individual drills and in position groupings. Mary Kay, we got into the debate last night about what the Browns may want to do, but are for now, as they're trying to get up, trying to get Nick McDonald up to speed. And by the way, terrific piece on Nick McDonald today.
Oh, thank you.
It was outstanding.
You could
tell the story in a minute, but
sure.
Will it still be, as I finish the question, will it still be John Greco snapping the football at center with Paul McQuiston at right guard to begin?
Yes, that is absolutely the plan. Right now, that is written in stone. John Greco will start the game, and Paul McQuiston will start at right guard. But Coach left open the possibility of some Vincent Painter at right guard as well. And we just talked to him a minute ago, and boy, what a big dude that is.
Mary Kay is, and again, we're paid professionals to dig into stats and to talk about stories. If you look at this Jacksonville Jaguar team statistically, they get sacked 27 times. They can only rush for less than 70 yards on the ground. Blake Bortles will throw you the football. They're a one-dimensional team offensively, and I know that Coach Pettine and the guys in the locker room have said all the right things and played that complimentary game that they do play, but have you been able at any point read between the lines to really get a show that, hey, we're the Cleveland Browns, we're high after two wins, we're high on ourselves, we're a confident group, which they've always been, and we should beat this football team?
Yeah, that's the vibe that I get. I get the vibe that everybody's talking about, let's keep this winning streak going, and they're very, very confident, and I really think that all the guys in that locker room feel like this can be a special football team and that they're on to something, and there's a general sense down there that, yeah, we're going to go in there and beat the Jaguars.
Mary Kay, you've been doing this for a long time, and, you know, I'm always interested because we had some success here a few years ago, but you are as close to a pro player, meaning that you're in the facility just as much as the players. So you get to see the transitions, the good, the bad, the ugly, if you will. What is your, in your opinion, the biggest difference between, say, our 07 team to what we have right now?
Well, you know what? First of all, I do think that there's a lot to be said for Brian Hoyer. I think it all starts with Brian. And, of course, Derek had a very nice year that year. But there's something about Brian. There's just some football acumen. There's some instincts. There's some little bit of Tom Brady thing going on there that I see. So I think that the quarterback position is stronger. I think that year a lot of good things happened. Obviously, you were there for every second. But, you know, I think that the schedule that year – it lend itself to a little bit of fool's gold that
right.
season. And it just, you know, it just didn't hold a lot of weight, and it didn't hold up the next year.
You know, I could say she's exactly right, because Hoyer had to look up to Tom Brady. He told me the other day in the hallway when I saw him, he said, you know, I had a great guy to look up to and learn from. Derek did not have anybody to look up to. And then when he got a little bit of that success, he was nowhere to be found on the football field. It's difficult. But, you know, a guy that does it year in, year out, had somebody to study, it's paying off for Brian Hoyer. But, again, I don't think you can – he had a veteran to look at. And this is how you do it, and it's becoming very apparent that he learned. He was very astute while he was there, and he's doing it right here.
And, you know what, Brian doesn't throw those interceptions. I mean, how many times you look out there and Derek Anderson – he was just throwing that bad ball at the wrong time. You don't see those kind of mental mistakes with Brian. He's just very rock solid.
Yeah, well, you're right about that. And unfortunately, we know what happened then in 2008 with Derek's accuracy issues. But let's get back to Brian Hoyer and Kyle Shanahan. You and I were both in the locker room on, Wednesday. Brian was very effusive about the connect, about how now the confidence, the trust is there. The conversations they have when Brian maybe is watching another football game. Is it hard to even quantify, though, Mary Kay, how far and how strong that has taken this football team with this entire revamping of the offense with Shanahan coming in here?
Well, Brian is, again, so smart and such a hard, incredibly hard worker. And he's studying the game plans, and that's why they are working so well together. Kyle knows how to build an offense around what his quarterback does well. I mean, if Johnny gets in there, he'll be able to build it around Johnny. But right now, he's playing to Brian Hoyer's strengths, and then Brian is picking up the ball and doing whatever Kyle wants him to do. And once again, a coach's dream is a quarterback that does not throw interceptions, right? I mean, and that's the number one thing.
It helps the football team out, that's for sure.
Mary Kay, I truly believe, and I talked to Reg about it this week, that this is a stat-stuffing type of performance from, and I truly believe both offensively and defensively, but just to focus on the defense, is the defense going to be able to take another leap and bound towards being the defense we all thought they were going to be in training camp?
You know, I think so. I mean, this is obviously a game where they should be able to, like you said, pad the stats a little bit and keep the score down. But I think they have to exercise a little bit of caution in that, because there's some really tough games coming up in the second half of the season. Five of the last eight games are on the road. You've got two Cincinnati games. You've got Baltimore. You've got Andrew Luck and the Colts coming. You've got Cam Newton. I mean, it's going to be a difficult way to go. So I think they need to be cautious in thinking that, you know, hey, we've arrived.
Sure.
Because even if they do look great this game, and maybe even over the next couple games, it's going to get a lot tougher.
And also, too, it would be an 0-7 football team. And that's the one thing, a question that I asked earlier in the week is, you know, we're potentially 4-2. We're 3-2 right now. If and when we beat the Jacksonville Jaguars, we get to 4-2. You look at who we beat. You know, essentially, what's the Steelers team would be the bottom dweller of our division. You look at a Saints team that's not even a shadow of who they thought they would be, or everyone thought they would be. You know, at this point, we beat a Tennessee team, which is the lower half of their division, and again, the bottom dweller of the NFL in Jacksonville Jaguars. So, but again, that being said, the Cleveland Browns need to win the games that we're supposed to win to have an opportunity to go to split those games that you're talking about and be in that playoff conversation.
Well, you know what? Absolutely. Think about this. If the schedule had worked out a little differently and they started out, you know, in Cincinnati and in Baltimore and in Carolina and in Atlanta, you know, if these were some of the things that we were seeing in the first 6, 7, 8 games of the season, we might have a whole different feel about this football team. And that's why, like you said, I think it's very important to keep this in perspective. We were on TV last night. We had people calling and saying, this team's going to go 14-2. And it's time to exercise a little bit of caution. Win the games you are supposed to win, and they are supposed to win the next three.
That's right.
She's spot on right there, because you have to win the games that you're supposed to win. This is a game that we're supposed to win because we are a better football team. There's no questions asked. The danger of going into a game where you have an 0-for team, where they're 0-for whatever.
Nothing to lose, man.
You have nothing. So anything that you may prepare for on game film may not be there on Sunday. I mean, it could be the old, you know, Blake Bortles standing on the sideline getting yelled at by the offensive coordinator, and the next thing you know, he's getting thrown the ball. Like, how's that happening? So it could be one.
Now, that's a very relative point. Great to have you with us. This is Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and Cleveland.com joins us. We've been waiting for a stout, dominant defensive performance to show up, Mary Kay. Last week, it did, and it did while depleted in the ranks with injuries to some key performers. We talk sustain all the time. How confident are you that this defense, with key performers out, will be able to sustain in the hot weather and continue what they've done the last 6 quarters? Second half, Tennessee and Pittsburgh. Do you get the feel that right now has it been simplified from Jim O'Neill?
It has been simplified, and that's helped tremendously. They talked about being able to fit the game plan on the back of a business card. So these guys aren't thinking as much, and I think that's good. But when you look at some of the depth, when you have a Desmond Bryant getting more reps because Armonte Bryant is out, hey, Desmond Bryant led with 32 quarterback disruptions last year, and he only played in 12 games. So to me, that's not a huge drop-off there. John Hughes and Ish Kitchen, those guys, you know, they got sat down the week before. They had something to prove.
Sure.
You know, when
they're hungry.
They're hungry. When I see those guys go into the football game, I don't think there's a horrible, horrible drop-off after Phil Taylor. Now, of course, Phil Taylor is better, but these guys are stepping in there and playing well. So I think you've got some depth. The guy that I think needs to come out and have a good game, and he's obviously struggling a little bit with the hip, but Joe Hayden has something to prove. What happened last year with Cecil Shorts, it was really tough on Joe. It was emotional in the locker room, getting beat on that double move for the touchdown that enabled Jacksonville to win the game. They had only won one football game before that. Joe took it really, really hard. We reminded him about it again yesterday. He did not want to hear about it, of course. He was like, hey, that's in the past. We broke that rearview mirror off. But he needs to come out and have a good game.
Mary Kay, I'm glad you talked about Joe Hayden, because I do truly believe he's the one guy. I think Justin Gilbert, from a step-up situation, He's got to step up a large step up. But I think I want to see Joe Hayden get back to the Joe Hayden that we know him as. You know, I don't want to look at him at, you know, that game kind of started that downward spiral, and he hasn't picked it up, you know, thus far this, or the start of the season. Last week in Pittsburgh, he was very solid, and I want to see him personally take another step in the right direction. So your spotlight on him is spot on.
Well, I mean, I do think that he gave up a few passes to Antonio Brown last week, and we saw that, and it started to be like, well, he had the hip injury, so I think he gets a little bit of a pass. But when it came down to it in the end zone, he made a big breakup. That was a confidence.
From all three of you here, I want this, because it's something we have not touched on yet today. Terrence West, he stood in front of us and said all the right things. He was down last week, was not active, did not understand evidently a little bit what it takes other than just carrying the football. Do all of you, and Mary Kay, we'll start with you, and then Joe and Matt. Was the message that was sent received, and is this young man now going to start to basically practice and perform the way that Mike Pettine's looking for?
Yeah, he will be up this week, and he will play in the football game, and we have been told that. And we just got done talking to Terrence West a little bit ago, and I asked him all those same questions. Was it a learning experience? And he admitted, yes, it was. And, you know, this was a little smackdown for him. This
little
was
a wake-up call.
It really was, and I think it had the desired effect.
Can it be good, Joe?
I think it, yeah, because if you're a true pro, you've got to – this game is a learning game. You have to continue to learn, not only the X's and the O's, but you have to learn how to conduct yourself at the professional level. You can't – things aren't easy here. It's like I remember telling my father in college when he would always ask, how's practice? Dad, everybody in high school that's now in college was an All-American. Over here at this level, everybody playing at the pro level, man, is a professional. So you've got to do the little things to stand out. You know, is he going to get the number of totes that, you know, we might expect? I don't know. Something tells me if not broke, don't fix it type of deal. So is he going to play? Mary Kay said yes, which, you know, again, that's that three-headed monster we've talked about in the past. So does the message get across? I would hope so, because this place is going – this team's going in some good direction.
I also, too, the message was received, and I think, you know, Mary Kay, you should know best, having got a direct comment from him. But – I also agree with Joe to say there's not enough ball to go around, you know, and it's just the way it is. There might be this week against Jacksonville, which will be great to get Terrence back into the swing of things. But again, I'm jumping on that crow caw bandwagon of, you know, you give him the ball, he can go 80 when he touches it. You know, you give it to the pro in Ben Tate, he'll get you 6, he'll get you 15, he'll get you 25. You know, and it's like, that's 2, and now we're going to go to a third running back who is still very, very solid. But also, make Jordan Cameron happy and Miles Austin, get him his catches, and get Hawkins, who had no catches last week, back into the swing of things. So there's only one football, and we're trying to make everybody happy. And I think as long as we're winning football games, and I'm sure is all that really matters, but I'm sure Terrence West being in uniform, being feeling a part of this team again, is the one thing that he has to hang his hat on. Those carries and his role has to be down the road for him.
Don't kid yourself. Coaches, scouts, anybody involved in this organization is watching how he conducts himself. If he doesn't get the number of balls, or if he doesn't tote the ball as many times as he'd like, is he going to start going into the dumps? I mean, they're going to pay attention to that, because that's not the type of person or player that is conducive to winning those games.
I'd love to see him ball out on special teams.
Well, see, that he's not on special teams.
There's a new role. Tell me that wouldn't prove something, Joe.
Maybe that's something that could be in the offing.
Well, you know what? I don't know so much about that, but one thing I do know about the three backs is it's keeping them all hungry. They know mm-hmm. that they have to perform. They have to have a certain average. They have to have the hot hand if they want to get the football. So it's keeping that competition going. The other thing is you have to hang on to the football. Now, Isaiah, although he can run through a brick wall at any minute, he showed a few protecting the football problems.
Absolutely.
Well, he did.
And you know what?
And I think if you noticed, yeah. he was not – Ben Tate got right back in right. after Kroll put it on the ground and Pittsburgh recovered it.
And that's called the harsh reality of football. Do right. your job. If not, they're going to make a correction.
And mm-hmm. I do, in fact, also, too, to take it one step further and then we can, you know, continue to move on is, but I do like the fact that Coach Pettine and that staff reinserted Crowell into the game to build that confidence because they know the type of talent and the impact player he is as well.
You learn your lesson. You know, you're taken out of the game because you made a mistake. Do you learn your lesson? And yep. obviously he has. And Crowell, you know, protect the ball, most important part of the game. We all know that. It helps you win. And the guy's toting the rock. You know, those are simple things, man, but protect the football. It's gold.
Right. Great to have you along on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com is with us. Mary Kay, Jim O'Neill, and you just brought up the part. Well, we simplified things. We can write it on a cocktail napkin now or our business card about what we're doing defensively. But Jacksonville, and Blake Bortles in the games he's played has been, seeing Chad Henne both, they're getting sacked five times per game. There has been enormous pressure on both of them. They've both been hit double that amount each game with quarterback pressures. Shouldn't this be an opportunity for Jabal Sheard and Paul Kruger? And I know, as last night you revealed, Barkevious Mingo with capabilities of, in Jim O'Neill's defense, this might be a week that everybody feels good and gets home on Blake Bortles with a lot of pressure, wouldn't you think?
Everybody eats this week, yes,
yeah.
yes. It could be a sack feast.
Amen!
yeah, I do think they're going to get home. I think I bet you Barkevious will have a sack. I think Jabal will. I really think that this is the week they're gonna send them. They're going to send them hard. It's a rookie quarterback. They're going to do everything they can to get that pressure.
And an offensive run game that is pretty much non-existent. Again, you know, Mike Pettine warned against that. But the fact of the matter is they're rushing for 69 yards per game, and Toby Gerhart, their leading ball carrier, 2.6 per carry.
Yeah, and he's been injured, you know, so he hasn't really been up to snuff yet. But once again, this has not been a good run defense, you know, generally
the Browns,
up until
no.
the last
yeah.
six quarters or so when they've really tightened things up a little bit. So, but again, I really don't see too much of a threat here from the Jaguars. Now, having said that, I didn't really expect Jake Locker to come out gangbusters in Tennessee either.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so you never know what might happen. But I really don't see this being a too tough of a game.
Right. You would think that in the running game that when you go up against guys like Red Bryan and Chris Clemens, that you'd be when you go against an opponent, you'd be like, thank God. Thank God. It's got to be so much easier. But obviously that's not happening, and I hope that yeah. trend continues.
Yeah, yeah, you're right about that. Mary Kay, last night on our Red Zone television show, you selected the Browns. Now, nothing's happened in the last about 15 hours to make you change your mind, has it?
Oh, no, not at all. The only thing I might do is just increase the score.
I might
widen the gap a little bit, but other than that, no, Browns definitely will win this one.
This business trip will be fruitful then.
Yes, it definitely will.
What do you make, too, before we let you go, what do you make of this week? We were discussing it a little bit earlier. We started the show. All of the national media now coming out in droves, picking the Browns to win the AFC North, as you had fun with on our TV show last night on Red Zone, 14-2s, 13-3s, win the division going away. Now, the spotlight, the glare of the spotlight could start to get warm, could it not, on this football team? You like it, don't get me wrong, but as we with each win, the glare of that spotlight starts to get a little bit more intense, does it not?
Well, it does. And once again, I think everyone needs to remember what's coming down the road a little bit before everybody kind of goes off the deep end and has the Browns winning the Super Bowl this year. And then the other thing, the big thing to consider, Alex Mack was placed on injured reserve today. He's gone for the whole entire season. And he was tremendous. And I think that that's one of the reasons why the offensive line obviously was humming along like that. And they might have a little few growing pains without him.
Obviously, the Alex Mack going to IR it's a smart move by the Cleveland Browns because he is going to be here for a long time. And right now we have the guys to fill in and do that job. Great move by the Cleveland Browns because that guy is going to be the staple of our offensive line for a long, long time.
Yeah, no question about that. Mary Kay, we always appreciate the time. So glad to see you here in the Dog Bowl today. Usually it's got to be on the telephone because you're so busy, but we're glad you had a chance to stop up with us. Have a safe trip to Jacksonville tomorrow. Enjoy, though. Enjoy, but, you know, just make sure it's tempered on Saturday night, right? We want to make sure you're good for Sunday.
Well, you know, I hear that you can cover the game from a pool deck.
That's where Nathan is right now. Don't kid yourself.
So I've never tried that before, but, you know, my computer, you know, I don't always have to plug it in, so I'm thinking about it.
There you go. Some forecasting, foreshadowing from Mary Kay Cabot. Terrific piece again on Nick McDonald today.
Thank you.
Everybody take a look at that Mary Kay, either on Cleveland.com or Cleveland Plain Dealer. All right, don't go away. When we come back, Friday forecast still rolling as we thank Mary Kay. Wilhelm's here. Jervis is here. I'm Reg Eye. Don't move. A lot more coming up when we get back.